This is Jehudi. Some of you know me as Thoth, Thoth, Toth, or Saint Germain, and even Merlin, and sometimes some other names. Today I will speak about a topic that is of great concern for a number of you. You are in your present state of evolution, opening to see more about your true nature, about who you really are. And as you are going down the path of understanding how you have created all you have created, this will serve you in beginning a new chapter now, so that you can proceed with creating what you wish to create. But creation is the topic. I will frame it in terms of universal law. When I say creation, sometimes it can be useful to also include the phrase manifestation. There are many teachings being brought through to those on earth that focus on manifestation. So I will use these terms today interchangeably. There are certain connotations that will arise for you when I use the word creation, and there are certain other connotations that arise for you when I use the word manifestation. I would like for you to become conscious of how you have come to understand these words as separate concepts. As you will hear during this session, they are the same thing. At this stage in your evolution, I come through to reveal a perspective to you on yourselves as divine, powerful, creative beings. If you are familiar with various teachings that I offer, you will have noted that my purpose, my commitment, is to support you in your unfolding as a divine being. And this is part of the perfection of what is called the divine plan. The single greatest detail or truth that you can open to at this time is to see the scope of your power as a creative being. The divine plan is a process. The divine intelligence that I will refer to often as all that is could not know itself in its original state. The same way that you need others to learn about yourself, to gain reflection, this is what the divine intelligence that I refer to as all that is experienced. And yet, all that is desired to know itself. The obvious solution was to parse itself, to split into pieces, to divide itself. And this is what you are. You are a piece of this divine intelligence. Each human, each animal, each being is a portion of this divine intelligence. Each of you has come to experience what it is to be in the form in which you find yourselves now. I wish that you get this picture in your mind. Because for so long, for as long as there have been humans and even prior to this, you have identified as your bodies. You have, in this physical form, perceived that your existence is tied to time. Many of you have had many lives perceiving that when you die, you cease to exist. Your conception of yourself has only slowly, very slowly, been opening to the truth that you are an energetic being that is temporarily choosing to be embodied in a physical form. One of the effects I wish to invite you to experience today is to observe any and all thought patterns that you carry, including beliefs, that keep you tied to your physical form or the span of the life you are currently living. It has been a very long time and a very great number of lives in various life forms lived along the Earth timeline, during which you have given great power to time. And you have, in a number of very critical ways, made decisions about who you are based in time. In some contexts, you will hear me speak about how you are not your history. You are not what has happened to you. You are not the sum of your experiences. But you are a divine, powerful, creative being who happens to be having a certain kind of embodied relationship with time. Each and every thought, including belief, that you carry about your identity as a being tied to time is a limiting thought or belief. I seek to offer you my vibration so that you may attune to it, so that you may see you as I see you, a multidimensional being that exists outside time, yet participates within the time-space dimension, that is, where Earth exists, temporarily, as you go about your learning journey, as a portion of all that is, or the divine intelligence, learning what it means to perceive itself as separate from itself. So you are coming here, living these lives, and getting distracted by time, distracted by history, distracted by memory, distracted by your emotions from the past, and your hopes for your experiences that may come in the future. This is part of the human experience, and yet where you are in the stage of your evolution as conscious beings at this stage requires that you alter your relationship with history. Requires that you choose to become present to who you are. And a major facet of this is altering your conception of, and therefore relationship with, creation and manifestation, our topic today. It is good to want things. It is fine to do so. As you have lived in duality, you have perceived that when somebody has something, somebody else does not get to have it. you have, in many ways, grown up. You have matured into a certain level of awareness about desire and wanting and who gets to have what when. In other contexts, I speak of this as empowerment that individuals learn about strength and confidence and therefore empowerment when embodied as humans in certain ways. As you have lived through duality, if you get to be strong, somebody else doesn't. You are living in a manifest world, that is to say, social conditions and cultural intentions that are formed in many ways around what you would know as zero-sum games. This kind of game is when someone wins, somebody else automatically loses. Chess, checkers, a race, a debate. Somebody wins, and somebody else must lose. At least one other person must lose. There is one winner. This has conditioned you. It has led to, over thousands of years, many romantic conceptions of heroism that have served you in certain ways to create mythologies that tell you who you are. And yet this is not who you are. You are not a being that either wins or loses. This is a human construct. This philosophy is in place on Earth right now because you do not see that you are strong, that you are powerful. When you adjust your thinking and you allow in the conception of yourself as a divine, powerful, creative being, you will understand more about what is really going on here. This history, thus far, this conception of self, this creation of the world in which you live, socially and culturally, that affects you so deeply as individuals, has been, in some ways, an experiment. It has been important for you as a collective to learn about strength and power and confidence while living with each other. In a sense to say, it has been important for you to compete with each other to see who gets to have self-confidence when and why and for what reasons. What does it take to have self-confidence? What does it take, you ask, to be able to take pride in one's self? You are playing out the philosophy in your day-to-day lives. Depending on where you fall on this range of experience, do you win or do you do something other than winning in your zero-sum game life? You will have developed identities about your worth. If you are somebody who seems to win, this will help your self-confidence. If you are somebody who seems not to win, this will destroy your self-confidence. So in many ways, in many endeavors that you have engaged in over the course of your many lives as humans all along the Earth timeline, you have developed ideas about who you are. This is central. This is actually foundational to the conversation about creation and manifestation. Because as I say to you are a powerful, divine, creative being. Part of you says, I don't see how that's possible. Look at all the times I have lost in my zero-sum game life. Look at all the times that I have not been victorious in my competitions. And therefore, look at all the times that I have come to define myself as something other than a winner. A part of you craves to hear that you are a powerful divine creative being, and that you are in charge of your experience living embodied as a human on Earth. You need to hear this behind this need to hear is an even deeper need for it to be true. You perhaps have heard me speak about the evolution of consciousness that you are currently experiencing, and how you are invited to know yourself as a divine, powerful, creative being, and all the rest. What is happening is you are becoming unwittingly invited to process your history. Many of you are experiencing a rise to the surface of a great number of emotions, perhaps all at once, perhaps one in turn, each one in turn. But you're experiencing a great number of emotions that have deeply shaped you in this life. And in fact, whether your conception of life and self and universe and divine intelligence includes the conception of other lives, includes the conception, the construct of soul, having many earth experiences in various human bodies, spread out along this timeline, whether or not this is included in your conception of self, other, universe, divine intelligence, all of these emotions that have been coming up for you are in fact emotions from all these other lives. You are actually experiencing them all at once, because from the soul's perspective, there is no such thing as time. Soul exists outside time. Your greatest dilemmas, passions, and fears are in common to all of the lives that your soul is living, embodied as humans, spread out along the Earth timeline. What is happening now for you is happening in the past. The more that you are conceptually tied to time, the more that you conceive of yourselves as tied to time, the more that you would be inclined to use the term past life for one of these other lives. From how I see you unfolding multidimensionally, and how I observe your soul, observing what you as various humans along the Earth timeline are learning, gathering data. What does it mean to be separate? What does it mean to feel, to perceive myself as separate from Source? What does it mean to forget that I am the divine intelligence itself? What does this mean? And you are gathering data and experience. You are saying, aha, in this life, when I turn left, I learn this. And in this next life, when I come to the same fork in the road and I turn right, I learn this. So all of your passions and fears and dilemmas are in common. Well, what is happening now with this process that I refer to as the evolution of consciousness is that you are being confronted with healing and releasing and processing and reframing and changing your mind about them, why they happened. If you are not grounded, not choosing conscious awareness, if you are not aligned with what you need to be doing for yourself and how you need to deepen your evolution of self-care, this can be very confusing. It will seem a repeat of this dynamic from the past. It will seem more pain. It will seem to be further difficulty to work through, or to live through if you feel victimized. If you feel a little empowered, you might think of it as work that you have to do. I wish for you to understand, because this will make it easier for you. You are processing what has not been processed. You are nudged and led and drawn into processing what has not yet been processed. From this life, which is to say all of your soul's lives, this life being a microcosm for your entire soul's journey all along the Earth timeline. As you have experienced pain and suffering in these many lives, including this one, the meaning that you have attached to why it has happened is everything. In a nutshell, you are now experiencing all these opportunities in one way, re-experiencing these difficult emotions rising to the surface, ready to be given attention and processed, so that you can change the meaning that you have attached to why they have occurred. Look with honesty and openness within you. Are you somebody who believes that there is a reason that you have had to suffer? Do you believe that you have not been good enough? Do you believe that you have not worked hard enough to be loved? Do you believe the universe is a cruel place? Do you believe that there is nobody on your side, and this is why you have suffered? There are innumerable, limitless questions to go with this, depending on your own situation. All of this is to say, when I tell you that you are a divine, powerful, creative being, there are parts of you that respond with, "Oh, no, that's not me. If I were a divine, powerful, creative being, I would not have created all this suffering for myself." So what you're telling me is a little bit absurd. And I'm not going to listen. Again, while another part of you says, "I need for that to be true. I need to hear this. I need to align with it. And most importantly, I need for this to be true." So as I speak today on the topic of manifestation and creation, as you experience this acceleration in the evolution of consciousness, you are now ready to understand that you have created everything you have experienced. Good and bad. Easy and painful. Smooth and rocky. You have created all of it. Before you begin judging yourself and saying, "Oh my gosh, I'm such a bad creator. Look how I've hurt myself. Oh my gosh, what kind of a person would do that?" Before this judge kicks in, get grounded. Make a commitment to stay with my vibration as I continue to speak to you. Make a commitment not to get sidetracked into these fears from the past that you are not lovable enough for something, for having done something or not done something. These fears that you might turn out to be not worthy of creating and manifesting what is important to you. Do not latch onto these. Stay with my vibration. Listen to the energy in my voice. Stay with me. Take a few deep breaths and stay with me. Why is it that you have created these things for yourself? You are here to learn about what it is to be human. You have come here to learn all possible ways of living. You have decided to experience fully what can happen when you make certain choices. You have decided to learn about cause and effect while you are embodied. And you have come here to experience being tied to time, temporarily forgetting who you really are, temporarily forgetting your divine nature as the divine intelligence, portion of all that is. It is a useful exercise to go through chapters of your history that include suffering, that have brought you pain, to look at these experiences one by one and say, there is a lesson here that I created for myself to learn as I set out as a portion of the divine intelligence, all that is. To learn about how to be human, I selected certain kinds of experiences so that I might learn. And these experiences have indeed taught me at the soul level what I came here to learn. I've experienced more of what it means to be human by having that experience, even though it has been difficult. Forgive yourself for having created without conscious awareness. Release the burden of shame for having caused yourself pain. You are not stupid. You are not unworthy of anything. You have simply gone about a certain kind of process without consciousness, as a divine, powerful, creative being, so that you can learn what it is to create from that state. Well, friends, now you have learned it. Now you have learned all you can learn about creating and manifesting without conscious intention and awareness of what is truly happening. In your mythologies, the gods affect human life. The gods are the movers of all human experience. And you have given substantial power. And your capacity to make choices, your willingness to risk inhabiting your true nature. You have given this away to these ideas of gods. I say gods, you might think specific mythologies with multiple gods, but I'm also referring to your mythologies as your religions. If there is a personifiable god in your religion, this is a mythology. I do not say this to put this down or to devalue what it is that you may believe, or your peers or your friends or loved ones or families may believe. But for the purposes of this discussion about manifestation and creation, you need to understand that these are mythologies. They are stories that have been constructed to help you understand who you are and how you should be living and how you should be treating each other. So you see, your religions are mythologies. In many ways, many of you, have come to think of mythologies as irrelevant, but religions as supremely important. Well, your style of religion now is akin to the style that mythologies were lived according to many years ago. There is a divine intelligence that is at work, and this is how we describe it to each other. And this is how we develop relationships with the divine intelligence, or aspects of the divine intelligence, if there are many, if we perceive of them as multiple. The point being that you have given your power to these conceptions of divinity. I say again and again, you are a powerful divine creative being. And I say it with a certain emphasis, as I wish to trigger the part of you that does not believe this any longer, the part of you that is shamed about the prospect of having power. I would like you to take a few moments now and write down what you think about power. What is it? What is power? Make a list. Make a paragraph. Write it out if you like. And let multiple parts of you speak. Write down, in other words, all the different opinions that coexist within you. Seek to stay open, to hear them all, and shame none of them. Judge not one of them. Take an inventory of your conceptions about what power is. That is the first step. The second step is to make a similar list, but this time, instead of what power is, who has it? Again, allowing all opinions. The third step. What did they have to do to get it? In other words, why do they have it? What has happened that has given them power? And then I want you to write down what different parts of you, what every part of you perceives, you have to do to have power. And I'm saying it in this particular way. I wish to trigger every opinion that comes to you, the entirety of your human journey, along all these points, these chapters, these pockets along the Earth timeline, have to date been informed by an experience of power that is rooted in dualism. You have seen strength through the lens of dualism almost exclusively. The next thing I want you to write down is, when is it that you feel powerful? You personally. What is it? What life circumstances? What dynamics in your life, past or present, make you feel powerful? And then the next portion of your assignment today that I'm offering you, that I'm inviting you to step into, to write down what it is that you had to do in order to get to that place where you did feel powerful, where that dynamic, that situation arose. What did it take to get there? From these handful of pages that you will write, I want you to see that there are many conceptions within you, and there are many definitions and attachments to ideas. There are many beliefs about power. Feel free to stop this recording and go about that exercise. I invite you to do so, in fact. Because as I proceed now with this discussion, it is very important that you are aware of your preconceptions. Again, not judging any of them, but becoming conscious of what it is that you think and why. Feel free to stop the recording and go about this exercise. Moving forward, everything that you have experienced in your lives is a manifestation of your power as a creative being. Every single thing that you have experienced in each of your lives is a reflection of your divine power as a creative being. Where it is that you have created pain for yourself, it does not mean what you believe it means. It is not true that you were not strong enough when you were disempowered. It is not true that you were not smart enough. It's not true that you did not work hard enough if you perceive that you lost or were not loved. None of these things are true. None of these beliefs is true. What is true is that you have created a vast array of experiences so that you learn about empowerment, and that you can learn about what it takes while you are embodied as a human to create self-confidence, which is to say, self-love. As power and strength have been tied over the course of human history in the human self-conception and conception of itself as a species to material routes, you have become confused about what strength is and become very distant from your true nature. As I said earlier, this has been an important part of your evolution as a collective, and therefore as individuals, to forget your true nature. And yet now, it is all rushing back to you, As I say to you, part of you wants to hear that you're a divine being who can create your life around you. And then I say, and there's another part of you that is not sure that you get to, that you deserve such praise. I want you to see that. You have attached value to power. As it plays out in the manifest world, strength, physical strength, that's a physical manifestation of how you perceive power. Resources, money, this is another manifestation. Resources including connections and skills, networks, even mentors, people who can help you. These are physical manifestations of strength and power. You have tied power to these things. And if you are not physically strong, if you cannot, this is an absurd example, but if you cannot bench press 400 pounds, if you do not have a lot of money in your bank or under your mattress, depending on how you are wired that way, that if you do not have these things, then you are not to be strong. You are not going to be strong. This evolution of consciousness that seeks to drag you back into your awareness of yourself as a divine being. In the process, seeks to upgrade your conception of power. As I've talked about power, and I've said, yes, muscles and money and connections and things, right, in the physical world are tied to power. This is because in order to achieve strength and self-confidence and therefore self-love through the lens of duality, it has, yes, worked exactly how it has worked. So again, I invite you to see the meaning that you have attached to these things. The last time that you wanted something and did not perceive you could budget it, you could not afford it, in the moment, what did you think and feel? Did you feel disempowered because you had $320 but not $395? Did you feel empowered when 2 weeks later the other $75 landed in your lap? I wish for you to see how your willingness to love yourself may in fact be tied to your bank balance. That is not all that this topic is about, but that is a fantastic way to illustrate what I'm speaking about. Through the lens of duality, you have been taught about certain ways to manifest and create. Well, now I'm here today to invite you to change the game. I'm inviting you to take a higher perspective and to step outside the way this game works enough so that you can see how it really works. And that you do not have to live through duality any longer. It has been important for the collective evolution, and therefore individual evolution, and yet it is no longer important. You have learned all that you can possibly learn through living through duality. If somebody else is strong, I cannot be strong. If somebody else gets what he or she wants, I cannot have what I want. Observe how disempowering this history of life on Earth has been when seen through the lens of duality. I bring you this picture today of your true nature. And I say, you are a divine, powerful, creative being. You can have whatever you want. In order for you to open to moving forward, you must catalog and then change your relationship with your history. A few minutes ago, I asked you to evaluate your conceptions of power. who gets to have it when and why, what they have to do to have power, what you would have to do to be powerful. That is one side of this. And yet, there are many aspects of this history, including your relationship with resources of various kinds, when you do have them and don't have them. Is it easier to care for yourself? Have you given yourself permission to care for yourself when you have resources? Do you perceive that you need certain resources in order to treat yourself with love? Have you tied love to the manifest world? To manifest things? But you must change your relationship with these memories. You must reframe them and ultimately refile them. Change all the little labels on the file folders, and then change the label on the drawer of that file cabinet. You'll have a drawer, for example, that is labeled defeats. And when you didn't win the spelling bee, a file was created. When you came in third. When you were turned down for a loan for some silly reason, a file was created. When somebody you cared about left you, perhaps a file was created for this cabinet. Defeats. And you will change this label to teachings. Because as a divine being seeking to learn what it is to be human, you need the reflection of others. And you have done this as long as there have been life on earth, through the lens of duality. Strength becomes strength over, and being overpowered. Power over others and overpowered. Do what you can to open to this truth. Shift your conception of what it is that has happened to you. When you can get to the point where you are grateful to your teachers, those who have hurt you, those who have seemed to cause you pain, you can accept responsibility for having created that pain and that dynamic to teach you what your soul, what you as the divine essence, the divine intelligence, all that is, has come here to learn. Has chosen to become manifest in human form, embodied, that has incarnated here to learn. Everybody who loves you is a teacher. Everybody who hurts you is a teacher. Become grateful to all of them. Shift why you think this history has unfolded. Change your mind about what it has meant. When you accept responsibility for what you have created, you put yourself in the position to be conscious of creation. When you accept responsibility for all that you have created so far, and you can see all of the wonderful, shiny, happy moments that fill your photo albums, and you can see all of these files that have thus far been labeled defeats and been filed under defeats in this file cabinet, when you can see each of them as teaching you what you set out to learn, and you can see everybody involved as a teacher for you, then you take responsibility for your creation. As I say, express gratitude to all of these teachers, to each one in turn. For what they have participated with you in learning. And you have taught them too. They may not be as grateful to you as you are now about to choose to be to them. This does not matter. Be grateful. This is your journey we're talking about, your evolution as a divine being. You're part of the perfection of the divine plan of all that is, while split off and embodied in all these discrete bodies, remembering exactly who it is while it is incarnated. Now take a moment and make a list of painful scenarios in your life, painful dynamics, painful relationships, painful turning points that you have experienced. Be honest about how you feel about these things, what you will want to do, what a part of you, I should say, may be inclined to do, is edit the thoughts that arise. It's so something would be so painful that you are embarrassed that it happened, that you're not sure how to deal with it. You have no idea how to process it, so you sort of don't want to name it. A part of you is terrified to admit this into consciousness, because then you'd have to do something. I simply want you to. A word or two or three or four. I want you to have a label, what you would type on that file. And I want you to write down a list of these experiences. And then I want you to categorize them. Which ones had to do with money? Which ones had to do with trust? Which ones had to do with understanding your lovability? Which ones had to do with any other category? You may find that these three that I have named are not categories for you. So make up your own categories. Look at what these situations had in common. See the common thread. And as you list situations from your life, maybe you have three, maybe you have 35,000, there is no particular number that you should have. Though that's quite a range, isn't it? 3 to 35,000. You beings are actually so complex and your memories so multi-layered that it is possible to have many, though of course 35,000 is quite an exaggeration. Come up with some categories, as many categories as seem appropriate. You might need to, after you write this list down, come back a few days later. You might have some things triggered, and it might not be comfortable for you to continue thinking about these things. Though my intention is that my vibrations support you enough that you can begin to see them and spend a little more time with these labels, with the name of each experience, and to have them coexist in your consciousness without having you feeling shamed or have all of the pain rush up at once. So you should not have to do that and experience that. When you are comfortable working with these categories, I want you to see that, let's say that trust is one of the things that was that led to pain in, you know, let's say you have 11 things on your list and 4 of them are about trust. Or had trust as a prominent feature in the thing that brought you pain, say it that way. There was a betrayal, something like this. I want you to understand that if you have a list of things that have hurt you, and you can come up with categories, and there's more than one in any category, that category that has multiple entries is a major area of life learning that you set out to learn about. We can know for certain that these themes, these categories, are themes that you have signed up to learn about. And observe that these people who have participated with you in this, the people who have seemed to hurt you or the people you have seemed to hurt, being teachers for each other, have actually signed up to go through this process of learning about trust together. All of this is to help you see more about how to accept responsibility for the history that you have created, for the learning journey that you have constructed for yourself with the help of very kind soul and karma mate teachers. Anybody who can hurt you with a lasting effect is a karma mate, meaning there is an agreement at the soul level in place between you to support you in learning the lessons of the journey that you have set out, each of you has set out to learn. This is just a fact. These contracts These agreements are in place so that you learn. They are not in place so that each party or one party feels pain. They exist to teach you, and pain is a part of the learning here. So all of this to talk about your history, all of this to support you in making these lists and getting to the place where you can understand more about how it is that you have set out to create these lives for yourself and these experiences that teach you what you came here to learn, what you are here to learn. The next phase is looking at those categories, the themes that you have created from your list, you have organized the entries of your list into. And then you use your creative mind and your inspiration to create choices now about learning lessons according to those themes. This is conscious creation. If you have 11 things on your list and half of them are in one category, wow, that is a really serious category for you. That talks about a life theme, that indicates a life theme that is very central to your learning journey as a human, as a divine being, forgetting that you're divine and playing at being a human who is separate from source. Bouncing off of all these other humans, trying to learn these lessons that you are in fact learning. So this would be a major category. So, how is it that you could approach this proactively? Let's say it is trust. Let's continue with that example. Look at what in your life now is focused on trust. Look at how your responses to life are shaped by those experiences that have to do with trust. Understand the baseline of where you are now. You know, look into with some detached thinking and observation. How could I address the issue of trust in my life in a proactive way? Well, one way is to risk confiding in another. Look at the link between when you perceive that you have been, that your trust has not been respected or honored or held close to someone's heart. How that will shape you later, and how an antidote to a hesitancy to trust from a past situation is to open to trust now. You will, in fact, perceive it as much larger of a risk than it in fact is. But it is a risk. You are risking changing a pattern. You are risking proving yourself wrong. Regarding the belief that was shaped after the time you were betrayed, etc. So what are the proactive ways that you can manage this energy in your life? What are the proactive ways that you can discern and then make choices in this arena of life? It is true that whatever themes you are experiencing, if you are not consciously creating experiences, if you are not consciously choosing how you experience this, you will be unconsciously drawn into experiencing them in whatever way happens to be going on around you. This is to say that as a divine, powerful, creative being, you actually learn most of your life lessons over a course of many lives by not making choices, but allowing life around you to choose an expression for you. In any life arena where you perceive a pattern of painful experiences, understand that you have been waiting most of the time for life to act upon you, and it simply has. When you do not choose your expression, when you do not choose how you will express a portion of your energy field, there is a default choice that is made for you, based in however you are vibrating. Back to the example of trust. 10 years ago, a friend betrayed you. And you have worked to forgive this person, and you perceive you have. And yet, you might not be open to trusting again on a certain level because of that experience. So now you are vibrating, I'm not open to trust. And there is a path to trace. Well, why? Well, because I was betrayed. Basically, that sends the signal. You are broadcasting energetically. You are vibrating the frequency that I don't trust. I can't trust. I shouldn't trust. I trusted and it was a mistake. I am not open to trusting. So you will either draw people to you you cannot trust, or people to you that you could trust but you refuse to trust, or they don't trust you, and this whole dynamic of games, essentially, that can serve to teach you about trust, and yet they are in truth many times complex, multi-layered wastes of time. As you draw many of them to you, they can serve to remind you that trust is an issue until you are conscious enough to begin to make proactive choices. Yes, I'm trying to paint for you the optimistic view. But in reality, you can notice you have 10, 20, 30 years of a pattern in a certain kind of dynamic, and you will feel like you have wasted your time because of the repetition. Well, you have not seen the higher picture. You have not seen the greater view of why you are creating it. This is what I wish to share with you today, to lead you into seeing why you have created something. Well, because you needed to learn that theme. So now, with the trust, and I say, choose to confide in somebody. Forget what rules you have already decided must be in place, what factors, what features of personality and dynamic must be in place for you to actually open to somebody to trust, because those rules have been shaped by these past experiences that were painful. This risk, in proving yourself wrong, is to do it now without that history involved. Now, if you do not choose it, in this example, to confide in someone, then life brings to you reflections of what you're vibrating, which is, I can't trust. I do not trust. People are not trustworthy. So as you choose it, you step into the driver's seat of your learning journey as a divine being, learning what it is to be human. So, regardless of the pain you may be carrying about trust issues, for example, knowing that trust is a life theme that you are exploring in a very significant way is critical. Acknowledge this. Whatever theme it is we could talk about from your list that was seen in the pattern of categories that you divided your list entries into, whatever life theme that we could talk about, now decide to be proactive in your living when it comes to this theme. You can even say, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'm going to become more proactive. I'm going to become somebody who chooses how I learn these lessons. I choose conscious awareness of why I came here. You make a commitment like this, and it will set the stage for you to learn about how to do this proactively. But again, you might not know how to do that yet. Say, I choose to learn this. I choose to get back in the driver's seat of my life. Now, for the context of the empowerment, self-love, self-confidence conversation that we were engaged in earlier, taking control of the wheel of the car of your life, we could say. I was saying get in the driver's seat, so I have to continue that image. Taking control of where this vehicle is headed. Is stepping into your power. As you do this, you may encounter many parts that say, oh, I could never be that strong. I could not be that confident. That is not what I am doing. I can't do that. I've never done that. People have always told me I can't do that. All of this whiny, disempowered nonsense. Let it go. Don't shame these parts. Don't say, get out, part of me, get out. I don't want to hear that. Don't do that. Say, yes, I hear that that's what you think. I understand I've had that thought pattern. I acknowledge that. And I've decided to make a new direction, to choose to go in a new direction. The perfection of the divine plan rests on you deciding to be in charge of your life, on each individual human deciding to step into a level of self-confidence which acknowledges the true nature of his or her creative aspect as a divine, powerful being. So, we've explored some issues in your history, and also this lens of duality I speak about, this lens through which you have lived human history and history of life on Earth before that. All of that history is based on you being tied to time. All of that history is based on this zero-sum game philosophy, and the philosophy that the material world reflects what strength and power really are. And I come to you today to tell you about yourself as an energetic being. Consider all that I have said thus far, introductory material. It's quite a long introduction, I know, but this is a very complex topic. And this picture to share with you is multi-layered. And it has taken that time, many minutes, to explore why your mindset is the way it is now. And this we need to see before we can move ahead. Moving ahead, I invite you to conceive of yourself as an energetic being. And I will explain this. I will go into some level of detail so that you understand this contrast. This difference of worldview, of conception. You know what it means to be an energetic being. Humans experience energy mostly as emotion. You are feeling in response to energy. Each of you is conscious of being an emotional being. And you therefore have a reference point for being an energetic being. Have you ever walked into a room where somebody was arguing and you can feel something in the room? Have you ever heard encouraging words and happy, joyous stories from somebody who is, you know, is feeling a great deal of pain? You have a reference point for sensing energy. Now, these bodies that you inhabit are temporary vehicles, and they are a great part of the journey of being here in this dimension as you are embodied. Remembering that you are an energetic being while you are embodied is a huge part of the manifestation experiment, or the divine plan. The manifestation experiment being Source saying, what would it be like if I forgot who I was and split off into a bunch of pieces and bounced off each other? That is the manifestation experiment that you are all living. You know, I laugh at this because the complexity and intensity of the emotions that you experience about your life experiences, well, it all boils down to this. You, as goddess and god and creator, all that is, the divine intelligence, saying, I wonder what would happen if I forgot who I was and started going down there and doing this. That's how all this started. That's why you're here. to find out the answer to, what would that be like? It is also my intention, for the record, that the more time you spend with my vibration, the less importance, and sometimes we might say drama, remains attached to your history. It is my commitment to reveal to you the truth of how these things work, including your nature as an emotional being. And as you commit to altering your conception to history, including memories, I invite you and hold space for you to shift how you recall these things, how you conceive of these things, how you carry these things within you, these thought forms and patterns and memories and emotions within you, ideally so that you release the emotional attachment and the belief that is attached to events in your history. As an energetic being, choosing to be embodied in physical form, well, as an energetic being that forgets its nature, yes, you have been tied to time. You have conceived of yourselves as connected to your bodies, and when you die, you die. That's it. Game over. Until you have insisted there is more. And as you have needed to hear that you are more, and that you are part of a greater thing, and that there is divinity, and you are loved by it and connected to it. But over many, many generations, and many lives that you have lived, many millennia, it has not been so. You have sought the knowledge and craved it, and not always known, not always felt confident in trusting. What you felt is probably the truth, or is the truth, about your true nature, and what is going on here. So, you have been creating all you have experienced. Got it. Check. You have accepted responsibility for all you have experienced. You have looked at this list of experiences and said, look at what I have made for myself in order to complete my journey. And you have looked at this list and you have looked at the people who have participated with you in these experiences and you have said, these are teachers, and I am grateful, thank you. So what's next? What's next is for you to understand the nature of yourself as an energetic being. When you understand this, you can make choices that are conscious, that are informed by conscious awareness of this true nature and how things are really working here. It is my intention to see you step into your power. It is my intention to see you come out of millennia of disempowerment, of zero-sum games, of feeling that you have lost when you have perhaps not won a competition of some kind. To see that you have not become unlovable or unworthy of your love, others' love, or God's love, because you have not been victorious in a competition or a game. In one sense, everything you do is a game. You are seeking to see what happens when it is over. And all these games you play with each other that can seem or are about competition, take them very seriously because your self-worth is invested in the outcome. So, let us give you a tour of how to operate yourself as an energetic being after you have decoupled your self-worth from the outcome of the game, these various games that you play. I speak about choice, and I speak about your free will as integral components of your power. It is time for you to see that when you set an intention and you give yourself permission to have and maintain that intention, that is an act of power. If you are somebody who has created intentions and they have not manifested. I want to make sure that you can understand why. At any one time, there are many parts that are active within your consciousness, many pieces of you, many portions of you, and they have different concerns and desires and goals. When you are not grounded, which is to say when you are not centered and intentional about what part of you is going to run your life, there is a rotating cast of parts that fight to get in the driver's seat and take control of the wheel of your life. When you call forth the part of you that is willing to admit strength, and you give the keys of the life car to that part of you, you can begin to manage all these different parts in a more effective way. And you can heal this, you can release that, you can change this belief, you can surrender that resistance, etc., of all these different parts, one by one, often. What often happens when a human is learning the process of manifestation is that the human says, "This is what is going to come to me." And the human believes this, and the human is confident. The part of the human, anyway, that is that day driving the car. And then that night, another part makes itself known in a dream, and this is experienced upon waking as a fear that the person cannot have what he or she is setting out to create. And then the person says, "Oh, I guess I'm not that confident." Well, understand this model of parts of you, different parts of you with different agendas. So it is extremely useful to come back to the original intention, but to be committed to calling forth the part of you that can maintain that commitment, that can hold that goal and vision, and have that part be the part that drives the car of your life. The more intent you are, the more focused and directed you are about the goal, the more you hear from the peanut gallery of all these other parts in the back seat. Sometimes it is as a school bus, full of rowdy children, each of which has a complaint. So perhaps you should adjust your image of the car of your life into a bus. It depends on where you are in your process and how many parts you are now ready to hear from. It might be a crowd. Again, don't judge it if it is. Just let it be what it is. Go one by one. So you come back to the part of you that is grounded, centered, clear, focused, intentional. And you say, "Yes, I acknowledge that there are parts of me that have difficulty with this goal. They are afraid of this, they are afraid of that. They are concerned, they are hesitant, they are worried. This is fine. This is what's happening right now." There are many teachings on manifestation, some of which have been brought through from beings such as myself, through other channels, other than this one I'm using today. And in some ways, some of these teachings strike the ear of the listener in a certain way that does not help them truly understand the nature of their divine creative power. If the ear of the listener has been shaped and conditioned by millennia of disempowerment via zero-sum games, somebody wins, I lose, then there is processing of history that needs to happen. There are many humans now who are manifesting, going through these teachings that you might call New Age teachings, metaphysical teachings, that are part of that movement or that kind of category of consciousness. And some of them feel very happy with what they are achieving. Then there are other people who are watching those people be very happy with what they are achieving and saying, why can I not do that? What is wrong with me that I am not achieving this goal that I have set out? What is it that I do not understand? So what I want you to understand, this whole talk is leading up to this, is that when you set out to create something, you automatically, you are guaranteed to hear from the parts of you that do not believe you get to do it, that are not open to having faith that you are actually a divine, creative, powerful being, because they have been shaped by painful experiences from the past against future iterations of which they seek to protect you now. Don't believe that. Don't open. Don't have faith. Don't risk. Don't have trust. Because look what happened in the past. That is why I spend an hour speaking to you about the past. To lead up to where we could talk about the present. So the ears of these listeners, having been shaped by a journey that is informed by a conscious awareness of empowerment and disempowerment and what it takes to be empowered and strong and to get what you want, those ears, there is a school bus instead of a car. So, when you set out to create a goal, you find out in what ways you believe you cannot have it. This is how the manifestation process works. It is not that you focus on the goal, and you focus, and you focus, and you focus, and you focus. You sometimes have to stop and say, yes, yes, there's a part of me that's making noise right now, and I need to deal with this. I need to heal this, and I need to ensure that this part is accepted and feels welcomed by the rest of me, and can release this expectation of rejection or this expectation of betrayal, can release this history of having been treated poorly and hurt, so that this part can join the rest of us going down this highway towards happiness, or whatever it is you are setting out to create for yourself when you say, I'm going to manifest something. It is time for me to manifest something. I choose to manifest something. Whatever the objections of these parts of you, it is about love and acceptance and unconditional acceptance. But you need to hear what they have to say. You cannot simply focus on a goal and wish these malcontents away. Because they are not malcontents. They are not enemies. They are not troublemakers. They are not impediments to progress and growth. They are you. They are portions of your consciousness that have experienced pain. So, hear what they have to say. Bring them back in. In the process of bringing these parts back into the fold, so to speak, you will find that there is a significant category of objections they have as before they are, before the situation is processed, before you have done this, you know, as you go through the process. And it is having permission to want what you want. This history of disempowerment on Earth, living lives along the Earth timeline, you have, through this lens of duality, decided that you are not empowered, because it has seemed that you are, at many turns, for many reasons, many instances, in all these lives, not strong. That you cannot have what you want. As you have heard so far in this teaching, all you have experienced is your creation to learn what it is to be here, and that you have set out to learn these things. But looked at these parts of you that have made decisions about why you have experienced what you have experienced. Again, none of those reasons are true. They are attempts to rationalize what has happened, so that a strategy can be developed for later to ensure that that pain is not repeated. So there are many parts of a person that can feel that they cannot give themselves permission to live the life that they want to live. So this is the job of the part of you that you call forth that can remain grounded and can manage all these other parts, that can actually drive this extra long school bus down the highway to happiness or whatever goal you have. So you must tip the scales, you must tip the balance between parts of you that do not feel you have permission to have what you want out of life. You have to essentially, through love, through self-acceptance and self-care and relieving others of the responsibility for having hurt you, taking responsibility for it and then being for yourself, being for these parts of you in the back seats, the kind of driver that you wish to have. There are those of you who are familiar with work with inner children. You have to become the kind of parent that all these parts need. And that's essentially is to become the kind of parent you wish you had when you were a child. Not all of these parts are children, however, but that is a useful model to parallel what is going on. So you must tip the balance one by one, converting these parts of you with love, these senses of self with love. And you remain focused on what it is that you are going to create, that you are creating. Your words have an incredible power when you mean it. You can observe the effects of this when you speak to others with intensity, the energy behind what you say. People will notice when you are especially loving or especially harsh. Your words have an energetic effect. The choice of words, as well as the delivery, as well as the vibration that accompanies these words. I come through today, I speak through this human channel, Seth. And this is why. So that you can experience the vibration of what I'm saying to you. When there is a conscious intention, and there is an investment of conscious awareness in something being communicated to you, there is an effect, there is a vibratory effect. The listener is affected. Now that is just from one voice to one ear, from one energetic being embodied to another energetic being embodied. It is also true that you as an energetic being have this kind of effect on the universe itself, on the world around you. It does not have to be about people you interact with. You can play with this by observing how confident you are in what you can say. Let us say that you have a boundary issue in a relationship, and it is time for you to either redefine terms or to say to somebody, aha, this feature of our relationship no longer works for me. Can we discuss this? Can we work this out? I need to work this out with you. Let us say that you have that going on in your life in some relationship dynamic. It's a very common human learning journey element. Well, let us say there is a very concerned part of you that does not believe that you should speak it to this other person. Calling forth a part of you that can manage this situation, calling forth a part of you that can be grounded, speak from that part of you, from this part of you that can be grounded, and say to yourself, by yourself, you're sitting in a room by yourself and you're playing, you're extrapolating my instructions and saying, I'm going to do some homework that Yehudi offered me. Or home play, as the channel Seth would say. Sit down and say, I have a right to be heard within this relationship. Do not say it with self-righteousness. Do not say it with anger. Say it from a grounded place. Say it with confidence. But hear yourself. Listen to the vibration that you are emitting. And you will find creeping in the parts of you that do not believe that you have the right to say that. You therefore are energetically broadcasting that you do not have the right to say that. Even as you say, this is important for me to say, and I need to do this. When you are grounded, and when you speak from a sense of self-empowerment as a divine being, your word actually becomes law. Practice this. Say it 3 times. I have the right to be heard within this relationship. I have the right to be heard within this relationship. I deserve to be heard within this relationship. And you say it essentially till the vibration changes. But you must listen to yourself. The vibration, as I said, it did not change significantly. But you must listen for yourself, to yourself. Do this over a series of days with different situations. Work with the parts of you that do not believe you have the right, that you do not deserve to have the thing, to be heard, etc. Hear those parts. Hear what they have to say. Acknowledge what they have to say. This will help them come back on board. They just need to be heard and accepted. I wish to emphasize for you that whatever it is that you are broadcasting is what the universe is bringing you. You might be saying, I create respect within my relationships. I create relationships with others where respect is an important part of our dynamic. I create relationships with others that is based in mutual respect. Something like this. When you say those things from a grounded place and you have addressed these parts of you that need attention, the parts of you that do not believe that this will happen or that you should do it, then more of your energy is focused on this creation. And the universe will respond. This is a secret to your linear minds, to your left brain. The power of affirmations might seem hokey or not real. But when you say, this is what I'm creating, the universe responds. When you say, this is what I desire to create, and yet I'm also afraid that I might not be able to create it. Well, the universe responds with the same ambivalence. This is the secret to manifestation. Manifestation, as you attach meaning to that word, and context based on these New Age metaphysical teachings that have been developing on Earth in the last couple of decades, let us say. Manifestation is simply an extension of creation that you have been doing all along. But if you learn how to manifest according to these New Age metaphysical teachings, you will see the truth of how to create. You go through the process of accepting responsibility for all that you have experienced. You accept responsibility for your creation, which puts you in the position to consciously choose what you create going forward. So let us shift back to that for a moment. Understanding the themes that you came here to learn and making positive, proactive choices to meet those themes, to create scenarios that teach you about these themes. I said before, it puts you in the driver's seat. If there is a part of you that is focused on the idea that you must control everything and yourself in order to protect yourself, I would like for you to change how this word control functions for you. I'd like for you to understand my version, I should say, of how I use this word, how I define this word. When I say, oh, you become the kind of person who is calling the shots in your life, you are driving the car of your life down this road, it is not control as many humans have thought of it. This idea that if you have everything in a certain way, you can protect yourself. That is not what I mean. What I mean is that you are always presented with options, but you are identifying which options work best for you. And so you are creating your experience with consciousness instead of waiting for something to come to you. So it is not the kind of control that you have perhaps come to think of. But you will be exposed to situations that teach you the lessons that you came here to learn. It will happen. So if you are saying, aha, in my lessons to learn about trust, I'm going to choose to see more about how I do and don't trust people, currently and past. I'm going to see more about this. I'm going to actively look at this. That will teach you in a way that is essentially your designation. And I guarantee you it will be much less painful than if the universe responded to you, to your unconscious command, based in, that is a reflection of, oh, I can't trust people. People are not to be trusted. That will come to you. So you make choices about these life themes. And you are the one who is calling the shots. I'm going to learn. You are going to learn these things. One way or another, because that is why you're here. Will you choose this? Will you say, universe, this is where I'd like to take this lesson. This is where this lesson is going to lead me. Or will you be afraid of what life will throw at you? So you see, there are several processes to go through, based on all I've said, about changing your relationship with history and the fear of what may be repeated. And to understanding the themes that you have signed up for, and saying, this is what I will experience. This is what is happening. This is how I express my learning journey about this theme. As your vibration is a command, as each vibration that you carry and that you verbalize are commands, and we wish that you come into more conscious participation in what you are experiencing. This will lead you to, by the way, learn faster and probably with more grace and ease when you meet head-on the lessons that you are invited to learn by your soul. But each iteration of the vibration that you are carrying manifests something. So I've said it is important to go through this history and change your relationship with why things have happened to you. It is also true that as you continually state what you will experience, as you continually inform the universe from a grounded, open space that is not informed by fear, but is a conscious instruction to the universe. You create what you command. I'm saying this to you so that when you say, I create relationships based in mutual respect, and then 2 weeks later, you run into an old friend, a former friend perhaps, with whom things did not go well, and there was no mutual respect, and things ended poorly between you, that you do not say, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that sucked. That was terrible. That hurt. But you say, yes, this is an experience I've created. And you reaffirm, I create relationships based in mutual respect. As you do that, you solidify the vibratory emission that you have been making. So, focus and commitment are very important when it comes to consciously creating your journey. Choosing not to be swept away by the emotions from the past is an important part of this experience. This is why I want you to go through your history and to look at the categories and themes and the meanings that you have attached to why these things have happened to you. When you take responsibility for them, and you can thank the teachers that have co-created these situations with you, the charge, the emotional cache attached to a memory and experience from the past will not derail you now. But sometimes things slip through, and you become aware of new parts of you that are holding charge and negativity and pain from the past experience. So I say this to you so you can understand how to deal with this when it happens. It probably will happen. You people are so complex. There are so many parts of you. So many corners. So many closets. So many basements and attics. Where parts of you retire, assuming they will never be heard from again. And then you sit down and say, I create relationships based in mutual respect. And you mean it. And the part says, well, now I have to come out of the attic. Now I have to make my concern heard again, though it has been decades. So it probably will happen as you call all these parts forward from the attics and the basements and the corners and the closets. This is actually a wonderful way to catalog all these parts of you, because the ones who object come forward. The ones who object to you being empowered, the ones who object to you making choices to better your life, those come forward to make sure that you can hear them, because they are, in fact, working with what they perceive to be your highest good. They are trying to prevent you from feeling pain again, from being hurt once more by going in a certain direction. So for you to become empowered as a divine creative being, you must deal with this history, you must work with these parts of you. And you must connect with the energies that you are emitting, the frequencies that you are broadcasting. It is true that your thoughts create your reality. This is why I want you to go through your history, to change how your thoughts function. To change the content of your thoughts, because they function as one of the major tools in your toolbox as a creator. The next topic to explore is why you want what you want. There are many people who have set out on, for example, a manifestation path, and they have wanted something. But when you ask questions, when you trace it back, when you go to the root of why they want it, they may actually have a fear inside them about this situation. And that would be the root of the manifestation process, and it therefore cannot work. The universe will respond to you with whatever you are emitting, whatever vibration you are broadcasting. So let us say that you are ready to create relationships based in mutual respect. Well, is this so that you can have fairness, harmony, equality, balance, and respect with people? Or is this because you're thinking of three relationships that went poorly in the past and you're never going to recreate those? You're never going to experience that again. So look at how your intentions are worded is one way to look at this. Trace it back. Ask yourself why you want what you want. When you say, I will manifest this, I'm manifesting this. It's time for me to manifest this. I'm ready to manifest this. Trace it back to become extremely clear about the root motivation. If it is about something other than openness, faith, love, etc., if it is based in fear, reword it and commit to it. Take it on as the foundational intention of this process, but reword it if it needs to be. For example, you don't say, I don't want to be hurt in a relationship again. I don't want to be disrespected. There's a part of you that is inclined to say that because it is functioning as an alarm system to prevent you from being hurt again. So it is viewing the negative. It is looking for traits and triggers in the world around you, including in others, that seem to threaten to perpetuate some past pattern, to repeat a painful experience from the past. So you have to take the manifestation process out of the hands of this part of you, and you have to turn it around. Because if you say, I create relationships based in mutual respect, but the part of you that is actually broadcasting this is trying to make sure you don't get hurt again, you will not draw to you, you will not manifest something good. It will not be something that you choose to take forward. It will not be something that inspires you and fulfills you and makes you happy. One of the most important things in this process that you can do, I have mentioned it, but I have not emphasized its importance, is calling forth the part of you that is willing to inhabit your sense of strength, that is willing to be empowered. Calling it forth, but also just as importantly, committing to integrating that part in your day-to-day life. There are times when you will say, I don't know how this is going to happen, this goal. Yet I call forth the part of me that has faith in myself as a divine, powerful, creative being, and has faith in the laws of the universe when it comes to creation and manifestation. So I do not know how this goal will be achieved, but I'm committed to this goal. What I wish to say is that stay aware of when one of these versions of you, these pieces of you in the back seat, are making enough noise that you just give the wheel of your life over to this part in order to stop the racket. I want you to become conscious of which part is driving at any one moment. And I want you to commit to having one driver, and to have that driver be the part of you that knows with certainty, with clarity, the truth that you are a powerful divine creator. Thank you.